I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. These are our top stories for Friday, April 6th. For the fourth year in a row, more than 30,000 new licensees joined the amateur radio ranks, and the ARRL volunteer examiner coordinators conducted more than 7,000 amateur radio exam sessions, serving some 35,350 candidates for a new or upgraded license. At the end of December 2017, the U.S. amateur radio population stood at 748,136. At nearly 378,000 amateurs, technician licensees represented the largest segment, with generals at 174,206,000, amateur extra at 145,34,000, advanced at 41,938,000, and novice at 9,056 trailing. Licensee numbers showed continued growth across all classes except advanced and novice, which the FCC no longer issues. Accordingly, those numbers continue to drop. Despite the optimistic influx of 32,196 newcomers last year, the net growth of 5,349, or about 0.72% over December 2016, reflects some 27,000 expired or canceled licenses in the FCC database over the past year. ARRL and CQ Magazine have announced the launch of Logbook of the World support for CQ's Worked All Zones Award program, effective immediately. The goal of the project, underway since last year, has been to create the proper technical support system so that radio amateurs can submit logbook confirmations for Worked All Zones credit. Logbook of the World provides contact confirmation when both stations upload their logs to the system and a match between the logs is confirmed. Logbook has already supported the CQ WPX Award program since 2012. The second public test of the FT8D Expedition Mode will take place on April 7th, and all radio amateurs are invited to participate. WSJTX developer Joe Taylor, K1JT, advises anyone planning to take part to download the latest release candidate beta version of WSJTX, now called 1.9.0RC3, and to read the latest revision of the FT8D Expedition Mode user guide dated March 28th, which includes changes and updates from previous user guide editions. Taylor specifically would like users to pay attention to the section on page 1, which reads, quote, "Please note, de-expedition mode is not yet ready for production use. Until WSJTX version 1.9.0 is fully released, FT8 de-expedition mode should be used only in controlled test situations. Please remember to send us your test results." Close quote. Taylor said the WSJTX development team is suggesting these temporary frequencies for testing de-expedition mode: 3.567, 7.066, 10.1405, 14.105, 18.095, 21.067, 24.911, and 28.067 megahertz. Taylor said he stressed that FT8 de-expedition mode is not ready for routine use. Recently, One Short de-expedition did deploy FT8 de-expedition mode, but users in the pileup were not necessarily fully on board with how to use the new mode, or were using versions of FT8 that were incompatible with the de-expedition mode iteration. Taylor said that posting FT8 de-expedition mode operating frequencies for each HF band was done in the hope that it might minimize interference with other digital modes. Alaska's Superpower High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP, will fire up again for the spring research campaign April 6th through the 14th. University of Alaska Fairbanks Space Physics Group researcher and HARP chief scientist Chris Fallon, KL3WX, told ARRL that more than 40 hours of externally funded experiments are in the queue. For his part, Fallon said he still has some time remaining on his National Science Foundation grant, but added that this is a tough time of year and a tough year of the solar cycle for such experiments. He said, quote, "It will not be dark enough in Gakana, Alaska, to observe artificial airglow emissions until 10 p.m. at the beginning of the campaign and 10:30 p.m. at the end of the campaign, due to the rapidly lengthening days in the land of midnight sun," close quote. ARRL November Sweepstakes CW results are now available. The results of the 2017 ARRL November Sweepstakes CW have been posted on the ARRL website. Go to the Contest Results Articles page and scroll down. Click on 2017 Contest Results and then to November Sweepstakes CW. The full results database is available. Another item that is now available on the ARRL website is the 2017 DXCC Yearbook. The DXCC Yearbook includes the 2017 annual list, as well as the 2017 Clinton B. DeSoto Challenge top scorers. Go to www.arrl.org/DXCC and look for the 2017 DXCC Yearbook tab. Click the icon and you can view and save your own copy of the yearbook in PDF format. An upcoming Wake Island operation will make a rare grade available. Starting in April, Philip Garrison, N7NVK, will begin working on Wake Island, which is in grid RK39 for those participating in the 2018 ARRL International Grid Chase. His schedule calls for 3 months on the island and then 1 month off, a pattern that will repeat over the course of about a year. Keep in mind that Wake is 12 hours ahead of UTC. Garrison does not yet know what days or times he will be on the air, but he plans to post his availability on his QRZ.com profile page and notify ARRL to include it in its DX bulletin. He's taking along an Elecraft KX3, along with a G5RV or buddy pole for an antenna and running low power. He will operate split, and he asks for patience because he's not used to being the focus of a pileup. Internet connectivity on Wake will be limited, but he plans to use Logbook of the World.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm talking with Bart Yonke, W9JJ, the ARRL Contest Branch Manager. And this being early April, Bart, it's time for a grid chase update. What's going on?
It sure is, Steve. Today is April 5th, so we're coming up on the next deadline for upload submissions. The March upload submission deadline is April 10th at 2359 UTC. So we want to make sure, first and foremost, that people get their QSO entered into their logs, get their logs uploaded. Let's get some credit going.
Do you have an idea of how many entries or logs we've received?
Right now, I was just looking at the online leaderboard review, and it's talking about 23,100 entries, and that's already surpassed what we were seeing for the months of January and February.
23,000. Do you expect this to increase as we get into better weather?
I think this trend is going to continue where it is because we're coming off of the winter doldrums where people maybe are staying home more often. You're going to see some peaks of varying bands as we go on. You know, you're going to see 80 and 40 and 160 drop a little bit, perhaps. But you're going to see 15 and 10 pick up, 6 meters pick up. We're going to be coming into the VHF contesting and activity season. So these are all activity generators.
Yeah, we're going to be coming up to a 6-meter sporadic e-season pretty soon.
We definitely are. You know, you get into the month of April and beyond, and these afternoon and evening openings are going to become more common. And add to that the fact that people are operating continually in some of the more digital modes anyway, and it's just going to build on itself. We also have the sprints coming up, which are sponsored by third-party organizations each year. And the first one's coming up on 2 meters this next Monday.
And that reminds me, are there any modes in particular that seem to be popular? Is FT8 still the hot mode for the grid chase?
FTA is definitely still the hot mode, and by a 2-to-1 over the CW and phone bands. And that will continue. I think the popularity is driving that, as well as the ease of use. Don't forget that planning for field day is starting now amongst groups. And while FT8 isn't necessarily a mode that will be easily used because of the complicated exchanges that field day requires, that doesn't mean that you can't start planning for your field day location from, say, a less active grid square. Again, it's not about the exchange. It's about the QSOs when you upload them to logbook, and your TQSL station location will have that grid square in it when you do the uploads.
Excellent. Thank you, Bart.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, April 6th. The sun is quiet and utterly blank, not a single spot to be found. As a result, the solar flux index has sunk to a pitiful 68, which means that conditions on the HF bands are about as mediocre as you'd expect. Look for some decent openings on 20 meters, but if you venture to the higher bands, well, good luck. You may be better off exploring 40 meters at night. 80 meters may be promising as well, but as we move into spring, thunderstorm activity will start ramping up, and static crashes may make 80 meters difficult at times. On VHF and UHF, springtime brings the start of sporadic E activity on 6 meters. Monitor 6 meters from late morning to late afternoon, starting now, for best results. On 2 meters and up, hams in California, Arizona, and New Mexico may be in for some tropospheric ducting fireworks over the weekend. Openings may pop up in Washington State as well.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.